Well, in the moments we've got left, I just happen to have a sermon that's going to fit right in there. Praise the Lord and praise the Lord. Open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Beginning a new series here, helping the authentic church continue being the authentic church. Main lesson we're carrying with us this morning, the authentic church will come under satanic attack, and when she does, she needs encouragement to stand her ground and trust the Lord. A person by the name of E. Schuller English shared this story. There was a man who lived on Long Island, was able one day to satisfy a lifelong ambition by purchasing for himself a fine barometer. Now, I can think of some other things that would be a lifelong ambition, but that was his. And so when he got the instrument at home, he unpacked it and was extremely disappointed to find that the indicating needle appeared to be stuck. It was pointing to the sector marked hurricane. Well, after shaking the barometer very vigorously several times, its new owner sat down and wrote a scorching letter to the store from which he had purchased that barometer. The following morning, on the way to his office in New York, he dropped the letter in the mail. That evening, he returned to Long Island to find not only was the barometer missing, but so was his house. The barometer's needle had been right all along. A hurricane came through and wiped him out. Have you ever done that with the Lord? Well, Liam, one of these days you might, buddy. Amen. He's going to be a preacher or a singer. I'm not sure which one yet. If you've ever done that with the Lord, you catch yourself saying, I should have trusted the Lord. I should have trusted him. The Thessalonian church is under affliction. They're suffering for the name of Christ, but they are weathering the storm rather well, as we see in 1 Thessalonians 3. And one reason they are is because the Lord is supplying everything that they need to weather this storm. And one of the things that they needed was a messenger from God, none other than Pastor Timothy, to encourage them to stand firm, to strengthen their faith for the storm, to get through it. And that's the first point we're going to look at this morning. We're going to see that in point number one, when an authentic church comes under satanic attack, she needs encouragement to stand firm from a messenger of God. Look at verses 1-5. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, Pastor Timothy, that is, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ. And this is what he was sent to do, to establish their faith and to exhort their faith, to encourage them in their faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are destined for this. Verse 4, for when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction just as it has come to pass and just as you know. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith for fear that somehow the tempter, that devil, had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. Once again, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us here today to worship you in spirit and in truth, to worship you with our hearts and not merely our mouths. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us your infallible and inerrant word, that we can read it, learn it, understand it, and apply it to our lives. And Lord, Father, I just pray today that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see and a taste for this, the treasure of your holy word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. I don't know if you've read the Bible or not, but if you read the Bible, you find out that when God's people need spiritual guidance, spiritual encouragement, when they need spiritual correction, in both the Old Testament and in the New Testament, he sends his messengers to his people. He sent the prophets in the Old Testament, and he sent Jesus in the New Testament. He sent the apostles in the New Testament. And here we're seeing he's using a young man named Pastor Timothy to be sent to the church in Thessalonica to encourage and establish their faith. Now, I want you to think about this. The prophets of the Old Testament, who God sent to his spiritually wandering people in order to bring them back to the fold. Now, it's different here at Thessalonica. The bride of Christ is not wandering. They're staying steady, but Paul's sending Timothy just in case to make sure that they're okay and they don't fall back in their faith. And so in the New Testament, the Lord is following that same pattern that he had in the Old Testament of sending a man, sending a mission, a messenger that he has picked out to take his message to his people to help them out spiritually and in the New Testament to mature them. So in our text this morning, we see that Pastor Timothy, who is a man of God, a co-worker of Jesus Christ in the gospel, is sent back to Thessalonica to an authentic church going through trials and tribulation. And we read in verses 1 and 2, "Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith." Now here, he's not talking about faith to believe in Jesus Christ, but he's talking about faith to trust in God that he will carry you through during this very difficult time in your life. The word faith, pistis in Greek, can be used different ways, and it is used different ways in the New Testament. And so the point is that no one be moved by these afflictions. Now, I want you to notice the Greek word translated therefore in verse 1. That's a connective word. So this word is connecting what's taking place previously in chapter 2 with what is going on currently in chapter 3. Paul found, if you recall, he found so much pleasure in this fledgling church, this fledgling congregation that was being persecuted. As we recall, he wanted to go to be with them. He desperately wanted to be with them, but he was hindered by Satan. Providentially, under God's ordainment, he was hindered by Satan from going back to Thessalonica. And so we find him in Athens as he's writing this letter. And so he felt it best, since he couldn't go, to send this young man of God, Pastor Timothy, as he is left behind in Athens. That's an interesting Greek word that's translated left behind. It describes a loved one who is left behind by another loved one, oftentimes by death. And that's what Paul's feeling here. He's deeply bereaved that he himself cannot go and has to be left alone. And so, in other words, Paul was willing to sacrifice for this young church in Thessalonica by being left alone, bereaved about that, and bereaved that he couldn't go himself. And so he sends Timothy there in his place. And so even though he was hindered, Timothy wasn't. So Paul sends this young man of God, this pastor, this missionary, this messenger of God to this church for this very important time. Now notice the accolades that Paul gives to Pastor Timothy. He says he's our brother. That's a wonderful word. And then he says that he's also God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ. Wouldn't it be an honor to receive such accolades from the premier apostle to the Gentiles of the Old Testament who wrote most of the, in the New Testament, who wrote most of the New Testament? Paul was rather fond of Timothy, don't you think? He addresses two letters to him, 1st and 2nd Timothy as well. And so he sends this warrior to help other warriors fight a satanic battle in order not to backslide, not to recant their faith. So Paul tells us that Timothy was very well equipped for this work of the ministry. He tells us in three ways. Number one, he was a brother. What does that mean? Means he was a fellow Christian. He wasn't an unbeliever. He wasn't unsaved, but he was saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Number two, he tells us he was a servant of God. He says, God's co-worker. What an interesting way to put it. God's co-worker. Number three, he preached the gospel. He was God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ. This man was not a second stringer by any means. He was a first stringer, and he was able and willing to take on the hard work of ministry there at the Thessalonica church, who was under persecution for the sake of the name of Jesus Christ. He was a genuine, authentic man of God, sent to do the work of the ministry. Now, Paul tells us exactly why he sent Timothy back to the church of Thessalonica in the second part of verse 2 and in verse 3. He writes, to establish you in your faith and to exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. So there's three things that Timothy was sent to do. Number one, to establish their faith. Number two, to exhort them in their faith. And number three, that no one be moved by these afflictions. Timothy was to establish them. Some translations have the word strengthened. Does your word, your Bible have strengthened? It comes from the same Greek word. And this Greek word means to make them firm or solid in their faith, to set them fast so that they can hold on, to fix them firmly in a place so that they will not begin to distrust God and move back into the old pagan lifestyles, but to trust God, to establish them in their faith. That's an important job for every man of God who's in the pulpit, to establish the church family in their faith. This church family was an authentic church, but it was a young church. And their faith needed to be strengthened. Their faith needed to be established that they would not fall away in times of suffering and struggling and affliction. I've seen many Christians do just that. I've seen many Christians say, why is the Lord doing this? Why is the Lord allowing this? Why is the Lord putting me through this? Well, you can rest assured that He's doing it to help establish your faith. Faith's like a muscle. If you don't use it, you lose it. And sometimes the best way for our faith to be strengthened is to be put through a hardship. So we have to exercise the muscle of faith. And some of us are a bit more flabby than others. But we all need that kind of strengthening in our faith, especially in the world we live in today. Amen? Amen. This other word, exhort. Now, I want you to listen to the Greek here, and I think I'm saying it right. If I'm not, y'all correct me. Parakaleo. What does that sound like? It sounds like the Greek word, the Greek noun for Holy Spirit, which is what? Paraclete. They're from the same circle of words in the Greek. And the Holy Spirit was promised to us to what? To come alongside of us, to guide us and help us. Well, what does a messenger of God do? He is a type of paraclete to the congregation. And so to parakaleo is to call people alongside, to come alongside the church family in order to encourage them in their faith, so that He's right there walking with him all the way through the suffering and the afflictions. And so Timothy was set to encourage this young church to continue walking in their faith in spite of the persecution. Now, you got to think, they lived in a pagan culture, and what their pagan family members and their pagan neighbors wanted them to do was to turn their backs on Jesus. That's exactly what they wanted to do. And so Paul sends Pastor Timothy, this messenger of God, to help them not do that very thing. Very important role. He was sent to help this authentic church to continue being the authentic church by establishing and strengthening their faith and encouraging them to continue their walk with the Lord. Why? Verse 3 tells us that no one be moved by these afflictions. Now, I can't personally tell you how hard it was for them. And it's hard for me to imagine such difficulties that they were going through, but they were tough times for this young church. And the reason why I can say that is because of the Greek word that's used, that's translated affliction. One author says this of that Greek word affliction. Another way to translate it is tribulation. And this Greek word has the underlying meaning of being under pressure and was used of squeezing olives in a press in order to extract the oil and of squeezing grapes to extract the juice. So that's what kind of things that this church was going through. They were being pressured like an olive is pressed to extract oil. Have you ever been that pressured? Have you ever walked in such a path that you have that kind of pressure on you to recant your faith and to turn from Jesus Christ? That's what they were going through. He goes on to write in Scripture, the word, the Greek word is perhaps most often used of outward difficulties, but it is also used of emotional stress. You know, one of the things I've learned in life that's almost worse than physical pressure is emotional stress. It's one of the biggest killers in the world, stress. And that's what these Christians were going through, that kind of hard stress to recant their faith and turn to their pagan ways. So they were being squeezed, they were being pressured on all sides, not just by their neighbors and their family, but by Satan himself and other demonic spirits. And one of Satan's biggest ways to attack us is through our mind and our emotion. And because of that, many may have had second thoughts about following Jesus Christ, especially since they were in such dire afflictions for their faith. And that's why Timothy was sent. He was sent to keep them from recanting their faith because of all this persecution, both emotional and physical persecution. You know, many a Christian have been defeated because of suffering and persecution. Many have walked away. Many say, why should I trust the Lord that allows so much suffering in the world? And I say, that's all the more reason to trust Him. He's the only measure that makes any sense of it, if you ask me. But once again, we're confronted with the fact here that suffering and persecution will come naturally to an authentic church. Paul tells us so. We should expect it. Verse 3, for you yourselves know that we are destined for this. For what? Affliction. We're destined for suffering. If we are an authentic Christian, if we are an authentic Christian church. Now, some may think, well, Paul sure is a negative Nancy. We are destined for this. I don't think Paul means to be a negative Nancy, but I think he's just saying from personal experience and from being indwelt with the Holy Spirit, that authentic Christians will suffer for their faith and for the name of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, Jesus' half-brother wrote, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you, which makes me all the more surprised when I hear Christians say, why am I suffering like this? Maybe we need to laugh at it sometimes. We're suffering like this because we're destined to suffer. That is the way of an authentic church. And so when we go through this kind of stuff, we know that at the very base of this, the very foundation of this, it is satanic. It's Satan. And he's telling us all you have to do is walk away from the Lord. And then he promises everything will be okay. And church family, that is simply a lie. That is simply a lie. Don't fall for it. Paul tells us, for when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction just as it has come to pass. And just as you know, for this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. Paul really truly loves this church family. He was genuinely concerned for the spiritual well-being of this church family. He knew firsthand what it was like to suffer for the cause and the name of Jesus Christ. And what he was most concerned about is their faith. They're trusting in the Lord. I sent to learn about your faith. Are you sticking to what you say you believe? Because he was fearful that somehow the tempter, Satan, had tempted them and their labor would be in vain. What does it take for a Christian to be steady and stay the course? What does it take? In a word, Paul tells us, faith. That's what it takes. Faith. Every day. It takes faith to do what God says to do, and it takes faith to not do what he says not to do. It takes faith to trust that his way is best above all. Amen? That's what it takes. We have to trust the Lord. And that kind of faith has to be nurtured. It has to be strengthened. It has to be used. It has to be tested. How strong or how weak our faith is in the Lord is measurable only in the fire of suffering, tribulation, and affliction. You can't tell me how good your faith is if you're not going through those kinds of things. So I'm one of these Christians who believes that our God is sovereign over all things. He's sovereign over the afflictions that we go through. And I think Paul was too. And because of that, anything that does come our way, whether it's good, whether it's bad, prosperity or calamity, light or darkness, the Bible says, has to come by way of God's ordainment. It can't come to us any other way. And because of that, God intends good where evil men and Satan intends disaster. God intends good. Now you and I have to do this one thing as we take this message to heart, and that is we have to have faith in God. We have to trust Him. And so let me ask, how's your faith? How is your faith? Are you firmly established in your faith? Are you encouraged in your faith to keep going in the midst of suffering and affliction? Or are you about to give in to the lies of Satan and doubt? I want to strengthen your faith. Let me strengthen it. Will you allow me to do that in just a few moments? And then we'll go. Skippers will wait for you. Okay? Let me strengthen your faith. This is what the Bible says. Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. Does that encourage you? Job chapter 42, 2. Job says, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Hallelujah. Amen. Matthew chapter 10, 29. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he's watching me. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your faith? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Praise God. Amen. Romans 8, 28, you know this. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. 1 John 5, 4. Let me encourage you with this verse. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory. Listen, this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. How do we overcome the world? How do we get victory? By trusting in the Lord. That's how we do it. You know, for me personally, anytime I have failed to trust the Lord, I find myself walking in disobedience. Natural thing. Those two things follow each other. Anytime we begin to distrust the Lord and what His Word says, we walk according to our own word and we commit the chief sin of idolatry. Because we begin to be our own God. We put ourselves on the throne and we walk according to the gospel whatever your name is, I walk according to the gospel of David Bowman. And every time I walk according to that gospel, I end up in a ditch covered in a bunch of manure, stinking like manure, because I've walked away from the Lord. It takes faith to trust in the Lord. One person wrote this prayer. Listen to it. I think it's helpful. Heavenly Father, help me have faith enough to trust you and trust enough to obey you in all situations. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Trust the Lord, for when God's people needs help, he always sends his messenger to help. Trust the Lord for that. Let me close with Dr. Warren Wiersbe's words. He writes, Timothy's task was to establish these believers and encourage them in their faith. It is faith in God that keeps our feet on the ground when the enemy attacks. Without faith in God, we are defeated. Amen and amen. I know it's late, so I'm not going to tell you the next story I have, but it's a good one. You have to come back another time to hear it. But church family, aren't you so thankful that in our hours of deepest needs, the God who owns the cattle of a thousand hills can meet every need. And one of the ways he does it is by sending his messenger to his people at the right time. And what you're going to hear me preach next week is that he sends his messenger with his message. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful, wonderful time that we have to gather ourselves together to worship you. Thank you, Lord, for providing your word to encourage us and to help us, to guide us. And Lord, I just pray today that in this congregation, that if there is someone that knows not Jesus Christ or someone hearing me online, that knows not Jesus Christ in a personal saving way, that today they will come unto you and receive your yoke upon them. And then, Lord, for all of us who do know you as our Savior, being a Christian is more than that. Being a Christian is living for you as Lord and Master of our lives. So, Father, help us to live in such a way. In Jesus' name, amen.